Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Patrick Highsmith with me once again. He is the president and CEO of Timberline Resources, and he has a rich experience, a pretty lengthy experience as a professional geologist with major companies, household name companies like Rio Tinto, BHP Billiton, Newmont, Fortescue Metals, etc. There's many, and lots of experience from all areas, from grassroots exploration on up to more developed projects. And now he's using his talents to help the little juniors, the little guys, find new wealth in the ground. And he's having quite a bit of success with one of those companies, and that we're going to talk to you today about Timberline Resources. Trades over the counter in the U.S., TLRS. You can buy it in Canada, TBR. Is the symbol there, 158.6 million shares, 19 cents. I saw it trading earlier in U.S. money today, giving it a minuscule market cap of around $30 million. The company does have some lower grade surface resource numbers at 508,000 ounces in the measured and indicated category. So it's already has a good start, but I think more exciting news is to come based on the discovery of what sure seems to be a Carlin-style deposit. So, Patrick, thanks for joining me today.
Good to be here, Jay. Thanks for having me.
It's really good to have you. I'd like to start out by just quoting a remark you made in the June 21st news release. It was the last one that I've seen from the company. And you said, and I quote, "This is the most exciting drill program in recent memory for Timberline. We are following up on the excellent results from the water well zone, where we have drilled thick intercepts of strong Carlin-type gold mineralization. We expand the footprint of the zone to more than 400 meters from south to north, and it remains open in both of these directions, as well as down dip to the east. We shall also test the extent of the recent reported gold in drilling at the Oswego prospect. It is gratifying to see the Eureka Gold Belt taking shape as both I-80 Gold Corp and Timberline drill significant new gold intercepts in the Cambrian and Ordovician rocks of the district." And so, end of quote. So I'd like to, just for investors who may not be familiar with Carlin-style deposits, maybe you could just talk to them a little bit about what Carlin-style deposits are, maybe, you know, and the significance of them in terms of their profit potential.
Sure, Jay. Thanks for that intro. I'm in Eureka, Nevada this week. We have two drill rigs turning, one reverse circulation and one core rig, and we are right in the middle of that program, as you mentioned. The Carlin-type gold deposits, Jay, we've spoken a little bit about it. We try not to do too much geology when I'm on here, but these are gold deposits that are hosted in sedimentary rocks, Jay. Normally, they are in rocks like limestones, thinly bedded limestones, or shales, sometimes in dolomitic rocks. But these are sedimentary rocks, you know, used to be on the ocean floor kind of thing, the ancient oceans. And when these rocks are shattered, as they are here in Nevada, from extensive faulting and fracturing, you get fluid pathways there that allow these gold-bearing fluids to percolate up through the rocks, and they are reactive, Jay. That's the key ingredient, is because they are carbonate rocks, meaning they have calcium carbonate in them, that mineral can dissolve and be altered into other minerals, and that forms a reaction with the fluids that leaves the gold there. It takes many forms. But most importantly, I would say, to your point on economics, is they often lend themselves to a bulk style of mineralization, Jay, where we get substantial thickness of the rocks that are replaced with these alteration minerals, including gold. And they also, sometimes locally, sometimes over great widths, can be quite high grade. The plumbing itself, these faults and fractures, are highly mineralized, and it's not uncommon to have, over 10 gram per ton mineralization over significant widths here. And that's why we're out here looking for Carlin types in Eureka.
Yeah, if you can get bulk tonnage with those kind of grades and lots of it, it can be incredibly profitable. And there are, you know, several major mining companies or major, really big world-class deposits right in that part of Nevada. So can you talk a little bit about the water well zone that you the results from the water well zone that you referred to in that quote I just read?
Yeah, the reason we're so excited about it, Jay, it's just down dip and adjacent to the existing resource you cited, which does come to surface. And that's quite lower grade mineralization, but it comes to surface. So that could potentially be economic. And as you say, it's a good start. But what we did is we looked off to the east and we're looking for the sort of down dip, maybe feeder zones, if you will, that were accountable for that lower grade mineralization at surface. And we hit a couple of ripping holes last year that we announced early this year. One of those was about 41 meters of 5.03 grams per ton. That included 19.8 meters of 9.5 grams per ton. And that was at the south end of the water well zone. If you jump 400 meters north, we drilled 44.2 meters of 4.1 grams, which included 12.2 meters of, again, over 9 grams per ton. Mm-hmm. So in between there, there are a number of other holes that also hit. We had a good one that was 24 meters of 3.85 grams per ton, about halfway in between. And there are several other holes. So now we have what we call a footprint of this emerging discovery. It's starting to take shape. It's got thickness, it's got grade, and the reason we're so excited is some of these holes that we're drilling now are filling in between those, and some of them are testing the northern and southern extensions and a little bit to the east as well. So we're trying to grow the thing from an area we know has thick, higher grades to this area, this newer zone that where we've encountered these high grades. So we're drilling whenever you're drilling within the footprint near the good stuff, you have a high probability of hitting more of the good stuff. So, so that's one reason we're excited. And there are a number of other targets sort of coming up behind the water well zone as we advance that one as well, Jay. So about 65% of the more or less 18,000 feet of drilling that we have confirmed we will definitely do, about 65% of that will be devoted to the water well zone and those nearby extensions of it. And that leaves us about 35% to do some exploration over at the Oswego target, where we also announced some good results earlier this year, and elsewhere on the huge 70-square-kilometer property.
So give us an idea of the footprint so far. I mean, you mentioned 400 meters, I think, step out last year, perhaps. What are we looking at? What is the target size now in terms of your step outs?
Yeah, we are, as I said, we're both filling in and stepping out. So 400 meters north to south is that high-grade zone. Within that, we're trying to get holes, Jay, on kind of a nominal 50-meter to 100-meter sometimes spacing in between. And then when we go outside of that, we've drilled, for instance, this year so far, a 50-meter step out. Another case, we've gone a couple of hundred meters south. So we've got really, depending on the ranking and rating of all these targets, we're sort of stepping out with sometimes more aggressive exploration. And sometimes in areas where the grade is really high, Jay, you don't want to step out too far because, as we talked about before on this show, the high grade is sometimes really complicated structurally. And you don't want to go too far because then you get into a new, you know, Mother Nature throws you a curveball, as it were, and you cross a major fault or that sort of thing. So it's a mixture, Jay. Sometimes we're only 40 meters or 50 meters away because we're trying to figure out where the faults are. And other times where we're more confident, we've stepped out a little bit more. So we see in this area, the water well zone, the lookout zone, there's potential in this area alone, Jay, without going very deep or without going across the valley to Oswego, for 2 to 3 million ounces of gold here, both down dip and to the north and south and within that footprint we've already identified. So we're definitely on to what I would call an emerging discovery, and I think the market sees that. You've seen, we moved our market cap from February, where we were at about 18 million. In March, we went up over 40 million market cap. And then, of course, in the doldrums, kind of trading with the GDXJ and the sentiment, Jay, we traded down in July to a low of around 21 million market cap. So there's a lot of volatility there. But I think also, as we've seen, even when sentiment is off, when we put these news results out, the market has responded because it realizes a drill holes like these in Nevada on an established trend could well be material and significant.
Well, for sure. But a 30 million market cap or so where you are today is really very minuscule compared to what might be if these numbers come in. And I would say you're drilling, you know, tightly spaced when you're in the good stuff. If you can find a lot of good stuff in a small amount of in a small area, they don't need to move nearly as many rocks, nearly as much material to produce a lot. What about, you mentioned the Oswego. What's going on over there?
Yeah, Oswego is about a kilometer to a kilometer and a half away from the area we were just talking about. You can, the audience can look on our website and see it on several maps and in news releases, including the one you mentioned on June 21. And about a kilometer, kilometer and a half away, we did announce some results in May, I believe it was, at Oswego, where we drilled about 35-meter intercept there that was about 2.3 grams per ton, almost from surface, Jay, and that was oxidized mineralization. And that included 20 meters of just under 3 grams, again, pretty much coming to surface. So Oswego sits on one of these faults. It sits on one of these structures. And we've now put about two holes into the Oswego area, and just this week we're planning to go where to go next to continue to chase that higher grade interval and maybe look also down dip to see what that zone looks like in some of the favorable host rocks at depth. So Oswego will probably see 15 to 20% of our drilling maybe this year, but it's all kind of results contingent. So something like that. We'll definitely, we've put a couple of holes in Oswego. We're drilling about 20 some odd holes here, Jay, and I wouldn't be surprised if we've got, you know, five or six over at Oswego before we're done.
Yeah, is that part of the same system, do you think, or is it cut off by a fault?
Or is it a different system? I thought Quentin Henney's analysis of that was the best, Jay, because he looked at a cross-section with Oswego on the right and Waterwell's on and Lookout on the left, and he said it looks like a big smiley face where they connect up in the middle. And I hope he's right. I hope there's a big old smiley face down there. It certainly puts a smile on my face to think about it. But clearly, Jay, to be serious, there's a geophysical anomaly down the center of that sort of corridor, and we have drilled into that and hit some lower-grade mineralization, some silver mineralization, that indicates there is a system down there and it could be pumping juices up these structures. And we might see at Oswego and the Waterwell Zone and Lookout sort of the near surface leakage from something that's much bigger at depth. It's just that right now we're not really drilling those deeper holes, Jay. We're focusing on the shallow portions to demonstrate continuity and grade and thickness. But we will definitely need to put a few deeper holes in there because there is evidence that the systems are linked over that kilometer distance.
Wow, that could be very exciting. What about, real quickly, with just about a minute or two left, metallurgy? Any metallurgical work done there yet? And also then, if you can just sort of sum up where the Eureka project is right now, and just in sort of summing up.
Sure, I can do that quickly. I would refer the audience to our historical 43-101 technical report on the Lookout Mountain resource, in which some metallurgical work is reported. Obviously, it's preliminary and early days, Jay, but suffice to say, there is oxide mineralization that has demonstrated favorable characteristics for possible leaching from a heap leach type operation. There is also definitely sulfide mineralization, Jay, that would require more elaborate processing. We don't know how much yet that work. We'll probably do some of that during the winter season coming up on the Waterwell Zone. But as we've reported, it's typically sulfide, but it's typically high grade. And if you're going to drill sulfide and high grade, Nevada is a great place to do it. To wrap up, sorry, Jay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, just to wrap up, I think at our Eureka project, it's really so big, Jay, that it could be more than one project. But if we talk about Lookout and Waterwell Zone, we're in an area there with an established, though smallish resource, 500,000 ounces, with the potential to grow to more than 2 million ounces, we believe. And we've been reporting consistently good mineralization over the last two drilling seasons. I would call it an emerging discovery, Jay, and we're definitely haven't proven its continuity or its potential economics yet. That is still to come. But we think there's a lot of growth there, and it's a great place to be as an explorer, drilling high-grade intercepts, over 200 gram meter intercepts in some cases, right next to an existing resource. On a major trend. And, of course, don't forget, just north of us, I-80 Gold, a few kilometers away, is drilling a lot of gold in the same rocks, including the Dunderberg Shale, which is our main host rock at the Waterwell Zone. So we're in a hotbed of activity. We see it with the contractors and the activity here in Eureka. And we've got two drills turning right now. And we look forward to start reporting results here probably in mid to late August from this drill program, Jay. And then right through September, October, November, we'll be drilling and announcing.
Well, I know the I-80 story. It's really incredible, extremely high-grade stuff. And so we're really, I guess we really have to keep our eyes on the drill results that will be coming out. How soon do you expect?
Yeah, as I said, a few assays trickling in. We started drilling effectively in June, mid-June, I think. So I would expect mid to late August will be our first sort of cluster of results. And we'll be drilling probably through October with news flow all through that period, pretty regular as it comes in batches. And we'll kind of group them by, you know, batches of holes based on which target they're in, that kind of thing.
Excellent. Well, we'll be watching very closely, that's for sure. Thank you very much for being with us, Patrick. And we'll look to keep up with you in the future.
Thank you.